definitely human.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It is the winter of 1926, Chicago. Reuniting with her estranged friends after 5 years, Dr. Dorothy Taylor chases the faint echoes of an evil she thought vanquished. Delving into the seedy underworld of speakeasies and gangsters, she hopes to unravel the net of rumors and speculation and discover what monsters may have survived in the infinite bad. The Butchers of Goose Lake, Part 2. Our heroes have made it inside the Three of Clubs, a hidden speakeasy in the worst part of Chicago. The interior has a strange uterine quality, afforded by the use of heavy reddish-purple drapes that insulate the sounds of revelry from the street above, and the dank, unventilated air is heavy with the smell of sweat and spit. The ceiling is low, and the floor space is crowded with small, squat tables made of dark wood. Dorothy Taylor finds herself squeezed between the wobbly furniture and Sebastian St. Battenberg, who is entirely too large for this space, variously knocking into hissing gas lamps and the 100 or so raucous patrons crammed into the room. The Three of Clubs customers seem to be a varied demographic. They range from obvious derelicts wrapped in rags and with frayed hats still pulled low over their brows, hunched over liquor cups in the corners, to the wealthy young socialites slumming it in the south side, wide-eyed and nervous but feigning disaffection. In the midst of this heaving vice, a few of the patrons cast their eyes over our heroes appraisingly, trying to gauge whether they fit in here.
While we're here, might as well have a drink. Approach the bar.
Okay, so the four of you approach the bar, and everyone else who is at the bar, they don't move to make room for you, so you kind of have to squeeze your way in, and there's just enough room for the four of you to perch on the bar, which is grimy and sticky already. There is a barkeep. He's wearing a bartender uniform that looks a size too large for him, and he has stone fruit fuzz around his thin jaw. He seems to be keeping to himself mostly, polishing a glass with a rag, but then he looks over to the four of you and kind of nods upward with his chin inquiringly.
A brandy for me, I think, and Mrs.
I
shall Cavendish.
Have a sherry. Please.
Dorothy, a cup of tea, and Joy, a glass of warm milk.
Sebastian, I would also like a sherry, please.
And I'll have a whiskey.
Oh. Okay, then those things instead of what I said.
Okay, you assume that he heard you because he turns and starts pouring liquids into small copper cups. And then he turns around after a few moments and goes into the back room.
Not very good service here, is it?
Sebastian, what were you going to tell us before we came inside?
So, first of all, it's great to see you guys again. It's been a long time, and it's just so good to see you all. Just really great. And you don't need to say anything. I'm sure you feel the same. So, I don't know if you recall, but in our previous excursion in Hong Kong, Sophia. Does anyone remember Sophia?
Oh, yes. She was the one who insinuated herself into our group to get a passage to the island.
Who we left to die, yes. Sophia had a journal with a dainty little lock on it.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you remember, journal. Mrs. Cavendish. I acquired that journal, and I've been studying it, and I'd like to share with you what I've found.
Gracious.
I see.
So,
adjusting his glasses.
Yeah. So I start. I get out not the journal, but like some notes that I've obviously written down.
Loose notes,
yeah,
and scraps of paper.
And I'm like adjusting my glasses. The text is in Portuguese, of course. I have noted a key phrase. Uma coisa que now e minha está dentro, which I think I pronounced perfectly. A Portuguese acquaintance of mine was kind enough to translate. Something that isn't mine is inside.
Unsettling.
Wow.
I have seen Angela Gresley's name mentioned multiple times. No surprises there. There are also many illustrations, cryptic diagrams, and I think maps? The illustrations are medical in nature and seem to depict surgical procedures involving the removal of teeth, the opening of the throat, and numerous obstetric depictions, which I don't really understand. The maps seem to depict cities. I have traveled across Europe, compiling information about various significant cities. I've even covered the walls of my home in pictures, linking them together with string. but I haven't seen any layouts that have matched what is on the page. There are references to hidden basements in city buildings and suggestions of large amphitheatres, but these are impossible to untangle from the baffling prose. It may be that I am incapable of cracking the code, or more likely, the nature of what is going on is simply incomprehensible to a sane mind such as mine. What is clear to me is that Angela Gresley was, or somehow still is, the leader of a satanic cult or nefarious secret society, hell-bent on evil. I have taken to calling these villains the Tooth Fairies. It is up to us to stop them, and with God on our side, we will.
Wow.
Wow, Sebastian.
Yes. I'm going in pretty hard on this, I have to say. And it's great that you're all with me on this one. And we're going to fight to the bitter end to defeat evil forever. Am I right? And I slam the bar with my fist.
Sebastian, have you
Make
seen...
Make a strength check, Sebastian.
16.
Okay, you slam the bar with your fist so hard that it knocks up one of the neighboring patrons' drink and sloshes it slightly, but not quite enough to tip it over. Sorry, Cornelia, you were saying?
Have you seen any evidence of what is written in the journal?
Evidence?
Since you shot Peter Fairbank.
No, but I mean, of all the things we've seen, Mrs. Cavendish, I mean,
which
it
are
seems...
now in the past.
Well, except for the murders here in Chicago.
Apart yes, from exactly.
The mob violence that you have seen, yes.
Mrs. Cavendish, I know that you partly blame me for selfishly not allowing myself to die so that you may obtain some higher knowledge of the occult, but I genuinely don't think this is the end.
It does seem rather unlikely that a single bullet could put an end to all of this horror.
Exactly.
So the barkeep returns now. He leans over to you and he says, all right, so we got a brandy,
yes.
And he hands you a brandy. A whiskey, and he hands you a whiskey.
Great.
Two sherries, and he hands both sherries to you, Cornelia. We got some milk, and he hands it to you, Joy. And we got tea, and he hands it to you, Dorothy. The tea is horrific. It looks like a porridge made with loose leaf tea, not nearly enough water, and clearly off milk that has kind of coalesced. He's used far too many tea leaves. He clearly has never made tea, and he doesn't understand what the concept behind it is. So it's literally just like a slurry of tea leaves with rotting milk in it. Your milk is also off, Joy.
I'd slide the whiskey over to you, darling.
Thank you, Sebastian.
I hand Joy a sherry.
Thank you.
And then he leans over to you, Cornelia, and he says, I wouldn't talk about the mob so loud in here. You know, there's a few guys around here who might have their fingers in some pies.
Oh, you mean criminals? Yes, no, we are also criminals. Don't worry about that. We're all criminals here as well. Just four criminals in a den of like-minded criminals.
His mouth kind of hangs open a little bit and his eyes dance between the four of you. And he says, well, you let me know if you need anything else. And he stands back up and goes into the back room, basically, out of sight.
Okay. Nice man, I like him.
So looking around, make an investigation check, everyone.
14.
3. 4.
20.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so Cornelia...
hands again on my eyes, like binoculars.
Cornelia and Sebastian, you especially, have your eyes fully peeled for anyone who could have any connection to what you've just been saying. And indeed, you think that you hear someone even mentioning the name Gresley in the crowd. And it kind of drifts through the hubbub of the conversation. You notice that the person who said this looks like a pretty young lady. She looks about 20. She's very well dressed in fine clothes, kind of a flapper outfit. So she's got this kind of short hair and a shapeless dress, cut quite short. Cornelia, you notice a really archetypal gangster. He's got suspenders with his thumbs tucked under them. He's chomping on a cigar, and he's laughing very loudly at the ceiling while he gropes several girls who are around him, some of them more or less keen on it.
Maybe this is your...
Mr. Giancano.
That's for one.
Listen, I know this sounds crazy, but I...
Here we go.
Did just hear... someone mentioned Angela Gresley's name.
No way.
Angela Gresley?
Sebastian, now you're hearing things.
Because I've heard the name Gresley, but not with Angela. And I don't know whether or not...
But I heard Gresley and just assumed. It was that woman over there. I think we should probably talk to her and see what she knows. I'm going to walk over to the woman.
I think he's finally cracked.
Okay. As you muscle your way through the crowd, Sebastian, with your eyes, just baleful eyes, focused on this young 20-year-old woman. She gives this kind of tinkling laugh while she holds a cigarette in a cigarette holder and looks at you as you approach, Sebastian, and he says, well, what can I do for you?
Hello there, Sebastian St. Battenberg. Charmed, I'm sure. I hold up my hand.
Okay, she gives you her hand.
I'd like to roll for charisma.
Go for it.
Is it...
to try and charm her?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
17.
Okay. She says, and what's a big strapping man like you doing in Chicago of all places? Where do you come from?
I come from England. Listen, I...
So charming.
I overheard... I overheard you mention the name Gresley, and I was just wondering, could you perhaps have been talking about Angela Gresley, who happens to be an acquaintance of mine from England?
Oh, she's a friend of yours!
As I said, an acquaintance.
That's incredible! It's Vinny's new fiancé, you see. I'd love to meet her. She sounds so glamorous. And you're both from England, of course. It makes perfect sense.
Yes, it's a small country. We know each other very well, actually. Do you say Vinny?
Yeah, Vinny owns this place, you see? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him tonight, but, you know, most nights he comes out and he says hi.
All right. Great. So he's the person to talk to. Sorry, I'm now just thinking out loud and sort of talking my thoughts.
Well, if you know Angela, then I'm sure you know Vinny too. She would have introduced you to her new fiancé.
You know what? We drifted apart. I haven't seen her for a while, actually. I was hoping to reacquaint, I suppose. Anyway, I've taken up too much of your time. Have a pleasant evening, miss.
Okay, the rest of you make perception checks.
13.
7.
14.
So Dorothy and Cornelia, you notice that as Sebastian is talking to the lady in the middle of the room, the name Angela Gresley is said loudly by both of them, and you notice that there's two people at the back, one of which is the bartender, and he's talking to another person, and they're kind of looking very pointedly at both Sebastian and the woman that he's talking to. The bartender then comes back into the bar but won't meet any of your eyes, while the other man goes back into the back room.
I have lit my pipe, and I approach the gang, smoking my pipe, looking very smug. I have just done a bit of sleuthing, and Angela Gresley is apparently familiar with the owner of this very establishment.
Are you sure, Sebastian?
Oh, yes. That's what
Angela
the
Gresley.
Said.
They said Angela Gresley.
They did, yes.
I'd like to down my sherry at this point. It's happening again. It's happening again. Oh, God.
Don't you see? It was always happening. It never stopped happening, Mrs. Cavendish. We're the only ones who can stop it from happening. And this is a good thing. We're finally on the trail. I'm finally on the trail.
I'd like to down Joy's sherry.
It's good to have the old team back together.
Cornelia, you noticed that the man that you had your eye on has now approached Dorothy. And with his cigar still clamped between his sleazy grin, he slams one of his hands on your shoulder and he says, "Look at the games on you! Sal told me you were coming in! Who are you going out with, baby?"
Dorothy, would you like me to render this gentleman unconscious?
No, no, thank you, Sebastian. I think this might, in fact, be the gentleman that I was looking for. Do I have the pleasure of meeting Mr. Giancano right now?
You going out with Frankie?
Oh, I see, you're not. I see. Do you know where Mr. Giancano might be this evening?
He ain't got nothing I ain't got, baby.
Okay.
He leans closer to you, and as he leers, you can smell the alcohol in his breath.
Sebastian, would you like to take care of this?
I'd like to remove him from our presence, I suppose.
Make an attack roll.
10.
Oh, okay. As you place your hand where his shoulder would be, he kind of starts up and he looks over at you, Sebastian, and he says, "Me and the lady are having a chat here."
The lady is quite finished having a chat. Thank you.
Okay. Make an intimidate check.
18.
Okay. He seems taken aback and he says, "Wow. Wow. I didn't know you're going to be such a wow." And he turns and starts going back in towards the center of the establishment.
Good going, Dorothy.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
There is still time to render him unconscious if you so desire.
I mean, I think we really just need to focus on finding Mr. Giancano. Mm. So maybe we ask the bartender? Although I noticed earlier that he seemed to be...
Shifty.
Not happy that Angela Gressley's name was being mentioned so loudly. Did you notice the same thing?
I did, yes.
Are you saying we should provoke him by mentioning the name louder and more frequently?
I mean, we have done that, yes.
So far, so good.
So you notice that the man has now also gone into the back room.
The man.
That you were just speaking to.
Where is this back room?
It's next to the bar. You might be able to get in there with stealth or by causing a distraction or whatever. It's relatively accessible.
The door is shut?
The door is ajar.
Can I just take a peek through this ajar door and see if I can actually see what's going on in there?
Yeah, make a stealth check.
16.
Yeah, that's fine. You kind of sidle over to the door and have a look through the crack that leads through to the hallway beyond. You can see what looks like a dark hallway, a very short, small, dark hallway that ends in a room. It looks like an office, like a small office. There's a lamp on, and you can see the shadows moving, indicating that someone's inside doing something in there.
That guy's just walked off, hasn't he? The guy that we were having a scene with.
Yeah, so there's the barkeep.
Women that he was importuning.
Yeah.
They might be...
willing to possibly tell us where Frankie Giancano is.
Yep. Okay. So who wants to approach the women?
I can.
Okay, Dorothy. So one of them seems particularly open to speaking with you and says, "What are you doing here, babe?"
Well, actually, I was trying to find, do you know Frankie Giancana?
Oh, Frankie? Yeah, he should be in the back room.
Oh, I see. Do you know him well?
No, Bert doesn't like me talking to him.
Bert. Is Bert the one who was just over here?
Sure.
He's a strong personality, huh?
Yeah, Yeah, he's a bit of a tool. And the other girls laugh as well.
Ha!
do you know Vinny?
She blanches slightly at the name and she says, I try not to have anything to do with Vinny.
Do you know his fiance? The Angela, what's her name? Angela Grizzly? Something like that?
Nice. Very nice, Dorothy.
She shakes her head and then she says, yeah, I've seen Vinny with a lot of girls. He goes through them pretty fast. I don't tend to keep track of the names.
Oh, okay. Well, that's super helpful. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
So in the back right now, we know that there is the bartender, this guy, Frankie, and probably Vinny. There's the other guy that the bartender was talking to before.
How long has it been since Bert went in there?
It's been about 2 minutes.
I am going to walk through that door. I'm going to basically follow after Bert, I think.
Okay. So just like not stealthily, just swing the door open.
Yeah. And I'm going to be shouting. I say that! Sir! Come back here at once!
Okay. So you swing the door open. What do the rest of you do?
I really want to see how this plays out.
Okay.
Hopefully you can use the distraction to maybe sneak in unnoticed.
Yeah. We'll be just behind.
So you step inside, Sebastian, and as soon as you step inside, you see the shadow that is in the lamplight of the office stop moving. So whoever's inside has heard you and has stopped moving. You three, Dorothy, Joy, and Cornelia, are now inside the hallway as well, and the door kind of gives closed again as if it leans on its hinges and closes behind you. Sebastian, what do you want to do? Whoever's in the office hasn't responded to your shouts.
I will march towards the office then, I suppose.
Okay, make a reflex saving throw.
5.
Okay, you march towards the office. A crowbar swings at you.
Oh, no.
And beans you right on the bridge of your nose. It sends you reeling back. You take 6 points of damage. You kind of stumble, and the hallway is quite tight, so you're very nearly prone, but you manage to stay on your feet in a bit in kind of an awkward crouch. Roll for initiative, everyone.
Oh, God. 12.
15.
9.
14.
What do you do, Dorothy?
Well, I think that as soon as I entered the door, since I knew that we were kind of getting into a little bit of a tricky situation, I would have had my revolver, because I had a revolver with me, because I know how to, having worked in Chicago now for like 9 months. It's been quite an important thing to be able to protect myself. So I've taken that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just going to point it at the person who had the crowbar. And I'm just going to say, stop right there.
Okay. From your angle, all you can see is a thick, heavyset shoulder and an arm holding a crowbar. The man is still mostly inside the office. You can see just the rim of a bowler hat also peeking out and kind of his shadow looming in the entrance to the office, but you can audibly cock your gun and point it and say stop right there, right?
Yes.
He doesn't seem to react to your warning in any way. What do you want to do, Sebastian?
Can I see who this person is?
Yes, you can. You have a better view of him. He looks like a tall, heavy-set man. He's wearing a suit and a bowler hat, and he's got a now bloody crowbar in his hand.
But I haven't seen this person before.
No, you don't recognize him. This is not Bert.
Seems there's been a misunderstanding. I'm looking for Bert.
he doesn't even seem to acknowledge your speaking at all. Like, it registers, but it's as if he doesn't understand you.
Okay. I gingerly get to my feet then.
Okay.
Is he advancing on me? He seem to be...
He looks like he means to continue to beat you, yes.
Very well. Then I guess I must... defend myself.
Yeah, we're just punching him?
Yeah. 10.
Yeah, you hit him. Roll for damage.
What's he rolling?
D4, yeah.
2.
Okay. It's a solid hit right on his jaw. He tries to raise up his crowbar to defend himself, but you manage to crack him, and you can hear the sound of your fist hitting the bone in his jaw. He kind of reels backwards, and he knocks a couple of things off the desk that is behind him in the office in the commotion as he tries to steady himself.
Ha! Where I'm from, we fight with fists!
Who got the 12?
Me.
Oh, what do you want to do?
I would like to march into the office and hit him with my umbrella.
Okay. Yeah, roll for attack.
7.
Okay.
Hey, you brute!
Okay, you march inside the office. He's trying to steady himself again. He's pretty much completely ignoring you, Cornelia, as he tries to bend back his arm to attack Sebastian once again with his crowbar. You smack him a couple of times on the breast of his jacket with your umbrella. The third of your smacks misses him entirely and hits the desk, knocking a couple of things, small bric-a-brac off of it onto the floor. But he seems to not notice your blows at all. Joy.
While this commotion is happening, I want to stealthily sneak into the office and have a look around.
Okay, make a stealth check at advantage because everyone is very distracted.
Yes. 15.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, he definitely doesn't notice you. So you see that inside this office, there is a small desk kind of crammed into the corner. It's got a ledger on it that seems to be showing various names. And for each name, there seems to be a physical description and a number for each entry between 1 and 3. You can also see that there is a sawed-off shotgun that's clattered to the floor and a revolver. And make a perception check.
16.
Okay. You also notice that there is a half-crumpled note next to the ledger and a packet of Chesterfield cigarettes and a half-pint bottle of Old Fitzgerald whiskey that is teetering very close to the edge of the desk at this point.
And there's nobody... I thought there were other people back here.
No. He's the only one.
Maybe there's another exit we missed.
Yeah, it could be a hatch or something or a trapdoor.
The man takes another swing at you, Sebastian, as he still regards you definitely as the greatest threat. Okay, the crowbar whistles down towards you, but he hasn't noticed Joy at all. And so as he lunges forward with his crowbar, he kind of inadvertently stumbles over Joy and drops his crowbar, knocks his head against the desk, and is now on the floor on all fours, kind of holding his forehead, which is now bloodied, having hit it on the edge of the desk. Dorothy, what do you want to do?
So the crowbar is, he's still carrying it, or it's in...
No, he's dropped it now.
Okay,
he's
so I'm definitely going to kick the crowbar away. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to pick it up myself, so that he doesn't have any weapons.
I'm patting the guy on the back, saying, don't worry, we've got a doctor here.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more I could... Because I certainly can't incapacitate him without my gun, but that feels like overkill. So I'm just going to take the crowbar away from him.
Okay,
You could see if he was okay.
He still seems like he might end up being a threat. But I like your compassion.
Make an attack check to take the crowbar away from him.
13.
Okay, you step past Cornelia and Sebastian and lean down and take the crowbar, and he kind of paws at it to try to grab it, but you take it from him before he manages to. Sebastian?
I'm going to ask the man if he's okay. Are you all right there, sir?
Okay.
Look like you had a nasty fall.
He has had a nasty fall. He doesn't respond to you, though. Cornelia?
So he's just on the floor.
He's on all fours, yeah.
And Dorothy is on the other side.
Yeah.
And Sebastian standing over him as well.
And Joy is, like, crouched beneath all of you.
Okay.
It's very crowded in this office right now.
I'm gonna investigate the rest of the room, see if there's any other exits or...
Okay.
Where these people could have gone to.
Yeah, make an investigation check.
9.
Okay, you don't really see anything. It's very, very crowded in here. There's 5 people in a very, very small cramped office. Joy.
Okay, so let's read the note.
Okay, so you open the note and you start reading. It says, when you're done at the 3 clubs, go on down to the Bible Press over in Fulton. And then there's an address, 22 North Marcy Street. There's a little bit more in the note, but at this point, the man who's on all fours kind of surges upwards and he reaches into his side pocket and he pulls out a knife. He lunges for you again, Sebastian. What's your dexterity?
12.
He cuts you. It's a broad sweeping cut across your chest, and it tears through the clothing of your suit, drawing blood. You take 1 point of damage. And it is your turn again, Dorothy.
Dorothy will pistol whip him.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
3.
Okay, instead of a really kind of clubbing motion with the butt of your gun, you end up just poking him with the barrel. And it doesn't really, yeah, it doesn't really do very much. Sebastian.
I would like to headbutt this gentleman. Two.
Okay, you step forward and try to headbutt him, but it ends up looking like more of a hug. You enter into a kind of clumsy clinch situation. Cornelia.
I would like to smack him with my umbrella.
Okay.
10.
Okay, that's a hit. Roll for damage.
D4?
Yep.
1. It is an umbrella.
The man separates himself from the clinch with Sebastian, and as he does so, you slam the umbrella with the hook end of the handle of the umbrella right into his face with such force it breaks the handle a little bit and it kind of gives.
Oh no,
my umbrella!
But the hook of it does actually go into his eye. And you can hear him cry out in pain, and you can see a small flush of blood trickle down his face, and he falls to the floor, seemingly unconscious.
Wow.
He broke my umbrella! I've had this for 20 years! I like to kick the body.
As the weak thuds of Cornelia's kicks are swallowed by the crescendo of activity from the main bar, Dorothy surveys the scene. This precipitous descent into violence should strike her as a failure, she thinks, and yet they are now closer to their quarry. They were only defending themselves, and they have their next clue in the crumpled note found by Joy. Surely, even a price paid in blood might be worth the final victory. Dorothy looks at the haunted, bloodied face of Sebastian and tries to smile. You've been listening to The Butchers of Goose Lake, written by Giorgio Mariani and produced and edited by David Knight and Tom Dalling, with music by Jonathan Day. Starring Eleanor Kohler as Dorothy Taylor, Maximilian John as Cornelia Cavendish, David Knight as Sebastian St. Battenberg, and Charlie May as Joy Dutton Cavendish. I am Giorgio Mariani, Game Master. You can follow us on Twitter at The Infinite Bad and support the production of this series on Patreon. That's patreon.com/definitelyhuman. The Infinite Bad is a Definitely Human production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.